right, Joshua. Joshua chapter number 7 in your Bibles this morning. Joshua chapter number 7. How many of you guys are excited for Water Day today? Okay, not so much, I guess. How many of you guys know someone that you want to hit with a water balloon? All right, there's a little more excitement about that. Maybe we'll let you do that. I don't know. All right, Joshua chapter number 7 this morning. Joshua chapter number 7. I know that some of you guys look a little tired. All right, so I'll try not to put you to sleep this morning. But like Dr. Beal said, don't make your bed in the peel, right? Try to look up, try to pay attention, because I know that God has a message for you this morning. What we're going to be talking about this morning may be a little heavy for 9 o'clock in the morning, all right? But I do believe it's what God wants us to hear. So if you pay attention, I know that God will speak to your heart this morning. We're really going to cover an entire story, but we're going to start off with just one verse, okay? So you follow along as I read in Joshua chapter number 7. We're going to look at verse number 26, all right? The last verse of Joshua, Joshua 7, verse number 26, the last verse right there in the chapter. The Bible says this, "And they," talking about the children of Israel, "raised over him," we'll talk about who that is in a moment, "a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day." In Joshua chapter number 7, young people, you have a story of the children of Israel gathering together a number of stones and putting it over the body of a dead man. The reason as to why they did this, it was supposed to be a memorial here in the Valley of Achor. Now, we have memorials all over our world, don't we? We have memorials in Washington, D.C. We have memorials that commemorate those who gave their lives for our nation. We have the Lincoln Memorial. We have the Washington Monument. A couple years ago, I had the opportunity to go to India. As you probably can tell, my skin is a little darker than most of yours. That's because you can laugh at that. I was born in India. And I've had the opportunity to go back every couple years and take some mission trips. And a couple years ago, I had the opportunity to take two guys with me. And I won't mention who they are because some of the adults know who they are. Would know them if I said their name. They went with me during Christmas break to India, and we were going to do some preaching and things like that, but we also decided, one of the guys suggested, that while we were there, why not go to the Taj Mahal? I mean, if you're in India, might as well go to the building that India is known for. How many of you have seen a picture of the Taj Mahal before? Okay? Most all of you know what that is. It's a big white building. And there were some facts about Taj Mahal that I did not know till I actually went there. My mom told me that I went there when I was very young, but I really don't remember it. And so this was really like the first time that I was going. Well, when we got to the gates, they charged me 50 cents to get inside the doors. Because they just looked at me and said, oh, he's Indian. But they looked at those two guys. They were white. And they charged them $20 a piece to get in. They were kind of upset at me about that. Anyway, so we go into the Taj Mahal and we're walking around. The tour guide is giving us, showing us cool things about Taj Mahal and telling us all these facts, most of which I did not know before this. And also at the corner of the building, one of the sides there were some pieces of the white marble that had fallen off. And the tour guide allowed us to take a piece of the Taj Mahal. So somewhere in a closet, I have a piece of the Taj Mahal. I think that's pretty cool. Nothing to do with the story, but anyway. So as we were walking through the Taj Mahal, this guy was telling us some things about Taj Mahal. What I always had thought was that the Taj Mahal was this big, beautiful, extravagant palace that the king lived in and had all these servants and had all these nice things. But the Taj Mahal is actually not that. Does anybody this morning know what the Taj Mahal is? I saw that hand in the back first. That's right. It is a tomb. A burial site. A grave, a mausoleum. And the story goes like this. There was this king whose name was Mirza Shahbubuddin Baig Muhammad Khan Khurram. Yeah, I'm not going to repeat that. But he's also known as Shah Jahan. The word Shah in Hindi is the word for king. King Jahan. And King Jahan ruled a vast empire. It's when Pakistan and India were all one country. And he ruled this vast empire and he had this wife. Now let me tell you about this wife. He thought this woman was hot stuff. I mean, he thought this woman was drop-dead gorgeous. He had like 20 wives, but this one was special, all right? And he just loved this wife. She was gorgeous. She was beautiful. And she was giving birth, get this, to their 14th child. Now, how many know who the Duggars are? All right, this is the Indian version of the Duggars, okay? Giving birth to their 14th child. And while giving birth, She had some internal bleeding and she ended up dying as a result of the birth. And I believe the child died as well. And Shah Jahan became so remorseful that he went into a state of depression and grief for a long period of time. He was so grieving over the loss of his wife, he decided to do something extraordinary. He decided to empty almost all of his royal treasury, take all the money in his kingdom, and for 22 years, build a giant tomb to bury his wife. And what the Taj Mahal is, young people, is a giant tomb where him and his wife are buried. But it was originally built to commemorate the love of an emperor to his wife. You know what the Taj Mahal is simply? It's a memorial. And there's memorials all over this world depicting the feats of a great emperor or the feats of a great victory, a great accomplishment. And there are memorials all over scripture as well that remember a certain person or a certain event. But in Joshua chapter number 7, there is a memorial set up for an entirely different purpose. You see, young people, this memorial is not set up to remember a great person or an amazing victory or an amazing accomplishment. This memorial in Joshua chapter number 7 was set up by the nation of Israel to remember an important principle. And it's a principle that's relevant and that we need this morning. You see, for generations when the children of Israel will come to this memorial in the Valley of Achor, they will be reminded of this truth, this verity, this fact. Get it? Be sure your sin will find you out. You see, for generations and generations when the children of Israel would take their children and grandchildren to this memorial, they would show them that memorial and say, they would tell them the story behind that memorial and they would remind their children, be sure your sin will find you out, because that's what the story is all about. You see, young people, the story in Joshua chapter number 7 is a story about a man named Achan. A man named Achan who believed the lies of sin. And this morning, for a few moments, I want to show you three lies that sin tells us. Maybe this morning, teenager, there may be some of you that are believing one or maybe all three of the lies that Achan believed. But we need to learn the principle as well. Be sure your sin will find you out. Before we do that, we have to talk about what sin is. You've probably grown up in church, most of you have, and you've heard a lot about this topic of sin. The book of 1 John, chapter number 3, verse number 4 says that sin is a transgression of the law. In other words, anything that you think, anything that you do, anything that you say that breaks God's law. If you've ever lied before, by the way, we have all lied, you're a sinner. If you've ever cheated before, by the way, we all have, you're a sinner. If you've ever taken God's name in vain before, you're a sinner. If you ever looked at something that was wrong, you're a sinner. In fact, the Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In the same chapter, verse number 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. Psalm 14, verse number 3, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Ecclesiastes 7, verse number 20, for there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. The Bible tells us that every single person that's ever been born, every person that will ever be born, and every one of you is a sinner. You say, Josh, what's the big deal about that? Well, the Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages, or what you deserve for what you do, for the wages, what you deserve for sin, for the wages of sin is death. You say, Josh, I deserve to die physically for my sin? Yes, but Revelation 20, verse number 14 says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. You understand this, young people. Not only do you deserve physical death for your sin, but you deserve eternal death, which is separation from God forever in a place called the lake of fire, what we call hell. You say, Brother Josh, I don't want to go there. What do I do? Well, the Bible simply tells us, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Titus chapter number 3 tells us, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us. The Bible says in the book of Romans, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter number 10 says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt shalt be saved. In verse number 13 of that same chapter, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Young people, this morning, what you deserve for your sin is a place called hell, but God has given you a gift of eternal life, and it's nothing that you do, it's not your works, but by simply putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that He is God, that He came to this earth, He died on the cross, He was buried, and He rose again. And if you believe that, friend, the Bible says, you will be saved. So we presented this problem this morning of sin. And maybe there's some of you this morning that have been, like Brother Jeremiah has been talking about, you've been playing the game, you've been blending in. But there's never been a time in your life where you've trusted in Christ as your Savior. I want to encourage you, don't leave this service this morning without making that decision. But I think the majority of people that I'm talking to this morning are those who have been saved. Hey, listen, your sins are washed away because you've accepted the gift that God has given you through Jesus Christ. Hey, but can I tell you something, young people, that even after that you're saved, you still continue to sin. And even after we're saved, sin constantly lies to us. And the purpose this morning of this message is to show you the tactics of the enemy. To show you how and what sin lies to you about so that you can identify it even in your life and get it right. Because there's mercy waiting for those who are honest about their sin. Three lies of sin this morning from the story of Achan. Number one, sin lies about its purpose. Sin lies about its purpose. We don't have time to read the entire chapter, but notice verse number 20 with me of Joshua chapter number 7. The Bible says this in Joshua 7, verse number 20. Joshua comes to Achan and asks Achan, what have you done? This is what Achan says. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And thus have I done. Notice this. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. First of all, young people, sin lies about its purpose. I want you to imagine that God has told the children of Israel, as they crossed over the Jordan River, look at this land before you. I'm going to give it all as an inheritance to you. There's going to be giants in the land. There's going to be great cities in the land. There's going to be enemies in the land. But as long as you do what I say, I will give you the entire land as your inheritance. So the children of Israel come to the first city. The city is called Jericho. I mean, man, this city is filled with huge, muscular warriors. I mean, they know how to fight. They know how to hold the sword. They know how to hold the spear. They know how to hold their shields. And were probably born fight. I mean, they are just strong people. And the children of Israel were just formerly slaves. I mean, they were weak individuals. They don't know how to fight battles. And God says, listen, you're going to come to this first city. It's going to be a huge city. But this is what I want you to do. I want you to march around the walls one time for 6 days every day, and on the seventh day, march around it seven times, let the priest blow the trumpet and shout out to heaven, and I will do a great miracle. The children of Israel simply obey. They start marching around the walls, and they start marching around the walls the second day, and the third day, all 6 days, and the seventh day, they march around seven times, the priests blow the trumpet, and they call out to heaven, and a miracle happens. The walls of Jericho come tumbling down. The people of Jericho are caught off guard, and the children of Israel charge into the city, and they're fighting this battle, and they're taking over, and the Jerichonians are caught off guard, and they're winning the battle. But in Joshua chapter number 6, verse number 18 and 19, God had told the children of Israel a very important thing. He said, when you go into this city, make sure that you do not take any gold, any silver, any of the riches of the city. That all belongs to the treasury of the Lord. The children of Israel knew full well they were not to take any of the riches of the city. And there was a soldier in Israel's army. His name was Achan. And I can imagine Achan is fighting this battle, and out of the corner of his eyes, as he's fighting the battle, he sees the sunlight maybe hitting something there in the corner, and he looks over there, and there's a wedge of gold. And there's some silver and some gold, and there's a Babylonian garment. In other words, a suit of clothes that would have been valuable. And the Bible says in verse number 21 that Achan admitted his sin, and the first step of admitting it, the first step of his sin was looking at the sin. He said, when I saw, can I tell young people that the pattern that Achan followed is often the same pattern that we follow when we sin. Hey, the first step of Achan's sin was looking at the wrong thing. looking at the wrong thing. He says, when I saw, can I tell you, teenagers, that sin often begins with the first look. Hey, you might have never imagined that you'd be looking at some wrong things, but can I tell you where it probably started? Probably started with a look. You might have never imagined you would hide some sin from your parents and maybe sneak around behind their backs, but can I tell you where it probably all started? It probably started with a look. And you want to know why you talk about the things that you talk about it and why you do the things that you do? It's an outflow of what's already in your heart, and what's in your heart is often a product of what's been coming through your eyes. Show me what a young person watches on TV. Show me the kind of movies that a young person watches, and I'll tell you his actions and what he does and how he thinks. The Bible says in Lamentations 3:51, mine eye affecteth my heart. Listen, you can't look at the wrong things without it affecting your actions and what you do and who you are. When Achan should have looked away because he knew full well what God had said about those riches, he continued to look. The psalmist said in Psalm 101, verse number 3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eye. Teenager, can I encourage you this morning, be careful what you look at. Hey, be careful what you look at. Sin starts with just a look. You know, sometimes we're driving down the highway and maybe a billboard pops up, and there are sometimes things that come into our view that are just unavoidable. And there is something that tells us, the Holy Spirit living inside of us tells us, we should look away. When those things that come into our view that are unavoidable, that's not necessarily sin, but it's when we continue to look that it becomes sin. Achan should have looked away, but he didn't. You know what happened? Look turned into lust. Look turned into lust. He said, when I saw, and then he says to Joshua, and I coveted them. You know what covet is? It means to have a strong desire for. It means to set your heart upon until it becomes a strong jealousy within you. Achan looked at that stuff and he knew that God had said not to take it. And he said, man, that would look good on me. That Babylonian garment, that would look good on me. Man, my wife would think I would look good if I had that on. He looked at that gold and said, man, I could buy some nice things with that gold. He looked at that silver, man, I could buy my children some nice things with that silver. And when he should have looked away, he kept on looking. And his heart began to say, I gotta have it. I gotta have it. I gotta have it. I gotta have it. And the look turned into lust. And friend, when you look long enough, it turns into lust. Proverbs 23, verse number 7 says this, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What you think is what you are. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And this morning, you may not appear to have a sin problem on the outside. You might be doing what Brother Clark said and having that chameleon type of Christianity. But if your mind is filled with lustful things and your mind is maybe filled with hate or bitterness or jealousy, you're not right with God. And friend, you're in sin. Evil thoughts lead to evil actions. And maybe you're not going around and doing all these bad things, but if you're meditating and you have covetousness and bitterness and jealousy in your heart, eventually it's going to come out in actions. And it did for Achan. Not only did he look, not only did he lust, but the Bible says, then I took. Then I took. Hey, listen, young people, when you don't look away and you begin lusting, eventually you are going to fall to that sin. While I've never been there, there's a mountain in Georgia called Stone Mountain. And there are signs posted along the different trails, and there are signs that say point of no return. And as far as you go and you go past the sign, eventually you'll go so far that there is no way to go back and you will fall to your death. And can I tell you, friends, temptation to sin is much the same way. Sometimes there's not a place clearly marked where temptation turns into sin, but can I encourage you, don't go down that path. Don't travel down that path. By the way, what Achan took was not inherently sin. You say, Brother Josh, what do you mean? You know, there's nothing inherently wrong with gold. There's nothing inherently wrong with silver or a Babylonian garment. But the reason of why Achan's sin was sin is because he took it outside of the timetable that God wanted it. And maybe there are some of you in this room this morning that are justifying your sin because you're saying, listen, it's not wrong to have a relationship. God wants me to be married, doesn't he? Yeah, he probably does. But if you're doing it outside of God's timetable, hey, listen, if you're sneaking around and doing things that maybe are not necessarily wrong, but your parents said, don't do that. Your dad said, don't do that. Your mom said, don't do that. Your pastor said, hey, don't do that. And you're saying, it's not necessarily sin. If you're doing it outside of God's timetable, friend, that is sin. What's interesting is in the next chapter, when Joshua goes in the city of Ai, God tells him specifically, now you can take of the city. Now you can take of the riches. Now you can have the gold and silver. But Achan couldn't wait one battle. Achan couldn't wait just a couple of days. Achan couldn't contain his flesh for just a few moments. And as a result of that, he and his entire family paid the consequences of their sin. Hey, listen, what you want might not necessarily be sin. But if it's not when God wants you to have it, and He said specifically, don't have it, that's sin. Achan looked, Achan lusted, and Achan took. You know what I'm sure Achan thought? Man, I bet that sin, that stuff over there, that could give me some happiness. Man, that gold, that silver, those precious things, that can give me joy. That can give me satisfaction. Now listen, young people, that's the lie that sin tells us. Hey, when you're involved in that sin, you know what it's whispering in your ear? Listen, this can give you some kind of joy. Hey, this can give you some kind of satisfaction. This can give you some kind of happiness. And if you believe that, you believe the lie of sin. Sin lies about its purpose. But number two, sin lies about its punishment. Sin lies about its punishment. Notice verse number 2 of chapter number 7. The Bible says this, and Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people go, people to labor thither, for they are but a few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. You know, no one initially knows about the sin of Achan. He takes those objects, those things, and hides them underneath his tent. They get to the next city, and the city is not like Jericho. Jericho was a huge city. It was a mighty city. It was a defense city. But the city of Ai, just like its name, is a small, itty-bitty little city. And there is no reason in Joshua's mind to send all the people up to fight Ai. And he says, maybe we can just take 2,000 or 3,000 men. That's what the spies tell Joshua. And so Joshua decides to send 3,000 men up to Ai to defeat that city. And young people, do you not want to know what happened at the Battle of Ai? They did not defeat Ai. In fact, Ai decimated the children of Israel. In the battle against Jericho, not a single person died against that vast army, against that large city. But against the city of Ai, 36 men died in the battle. And the people of Israel fled before their faces. Hey, can I tell you why 36 fathers were no longer there for their wives? Hey, can I tell you why 36 husbands were no longer there for their wives, 36 fathers who were no longer there for their children. You know why that happened? It's because, not because God was done with Israel, or God didn't care about Israel, or Israel wasn't God's people. It was because there was sin in the camp. And can I tell you this, young people? Sin always, always, always brings defeat. And you might say, why is nothing going my way in my life? Why am I always defeated and always discouraged? Maybe the reason for that is because there's sin in your life. And God is trying to get your attention, saying, listen, sin brings defeat. It lies about His purpose. It can never give you happiness. It can never give you joy. It can never give you contentment. Sin brings defeat. But not only that, sin brings dismay. Won't take time to read it, but when the news comes back to Joshua, the Bible says Joshua rents his mantle. He gets down on the ground and he openly grieves to God. And he pours out his heart to God and says, God, why did this happen? And his heart is broken over the 36 men that died. By the way, not only does sin bring discouragement and dismay to you, it brings discouragement and dismay to those who you love the most. Achan's choice later in the story would rob his children, his family, of the blessings of the promised land. And it would rob Joshua of the happiness here in chapter number 7. Hey, listen, think about your mom and dad that love you. Hey, think about your youth leaders that care for you and have sacrificed so much for you. Hey, think about your pastor that has guided you and aided you and helped you and tried to help you grow spiritually. And listen, if you believe the lies of sin and you believe the lies about its punishment, not only will you bring defeat to yourself, you'll bring discouragement and dismay to those people who have invested time and time and time again into you. You know what will happen if some of these counselors and these preachers 5, 10 years from now hear about a boy or a girl that were at Camp Barnabas and they destroy their life because they thought that sin would bring them happiness? It's not going to make us happy. It's going to bring remorse to our heart. Friends, sin brings defeat, but it also brings dismay. The psalmist said, David said in Psalm 51, verse number 4, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Sin brings consequences. Sin brings consequences. Listen, maybe there's some of you this morning thinking there's absolutely no consequences for what I'm doing. Hey, I haven't been caught. Maybe you're thinking I won't ever be caught. No one will ever find out. No one will know. And I can almost guarantee you this morning, young people, that's the same thought that Achan had. But notice with me the end of the story and the final lie of sin this morning. Not only does sin lie about its purpose, not only does sin lie about its punishment, but sin lies about its privacy. Sin lies about its privacy. July 22nd, 1957, about 1:24 in the morning, there were two police officers in a squad car. Their names were Richard Phillips and Milton Curtis. One was 28 years old, the other was 25. About 1:24 in the morning, a car sped past a red light. The officers proceeded to pull over the man. What they did not know was that the man in the car that ran the red light was a man by the name of Gerald Mason. Gerald Mason, earlier that night, about an hour and a half before he sped through that red light, had robbed two teenagers and their dates. And he also sexually assaulted one of the teenage girls. As Officer Phillips got out of the car, he started walking towards Gerald Mason. Gerald Mason produced a firearm and shot Officer Phillips several times. Officer Phillips was able to exchange some gunfire and shot Gerald Mason one or two times in the back. Gerald Mason was not very badly injured and got out of the vehicle, shot and killed Officer Phillips in cold blood, walked over to the squad car where Officer Curtis was trying to call in for backup, and shot and killed Officer Curtis in cold blood. Both of them in their mid-20s, both of them with young families, were now dead. Gerald Mason had enough strength to get back in his car and drive off on that night on July 22nd, 1957. 46 years later, in September of 2002, a false lead encouraged FBI investigators to look back at that scene in 1957, and the fingerprints led to a man named Gerald Mason. When they brought Gerald Mason in, there on the back were the same wounds that he had suffered that night, 46 years earlier in 1957. And 47 years later, in the next year, Gerald Mason was tried and convicted for the crimes of the murder of Officer Richard Phillips and Milton Curtis. Can I tell you what Gerald Mason probably thought maybe 20 years after that crime scene? Man, I probably got away with it. Maybe 30 years after that scene, he probably thought, man, I really got away with it. But 46 years later, young friends, Gerald Mason found out this fact that sin lies about its privacy. All sin will be exposed. And Gerald Mason had to suffer the consequences of his wrongdoing. You know what happens in the story of Achan? When Joshua says, God, what have we done wrong? God says, this is what it is. And he is able to pinpoint not just the tribe, not just the family, but the very man who disobeyed the command of God. God says, Achan, that's who's done it. That's who took of the accursed thing from Jericho. And Achan has to pay for his crime. And just like how God was able to pinpoint the sin in Joshua's day, young people, God is able to pinpoint your sin. And He does it through the work of the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God. And maybe right now in this service this morning, God is putting His finger on that very sin. He's saying, you can't keep it a secret. The Bible says that all things are naked and open unto the eyes of God. There's nothing hid in God's sight, young people. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. Proverbs 15, verse number 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding the evil and the good. I'm sure Achan looked that way. I'm sure he looked that way. I'm sure he looked that way and that way. As he took that gold, as he took that silver, as he took that Babylonian garment, he saw his comrades fighting the battle. And I'm sure he slipped out of the battle, went to his tent. But there was someone who was watching Achan. It was God Almighty in heaven. And friend, there is nothing that you do, nothing that you say, and nothing that you think that is hid from the eyes of God. You say, Josh, what's your message this morning? Hey, listen, I'm not preaching this so I can slap you over the head with the Bible. I'm not preaching this because I just want to preach hard. That's not why I'm doing it. I'm doing it because I was a teenager just a few years ago. And I was sitting where you were, and I was being deceived by sin. You know what sin told me? Sin lied about its purpose. Said, man, Josh, if you do this, it'll give you some happiness. It'll give you some joy. This is where contentment is found. I believe that lie. I believe a lie about his punishment. Man, there are no consequences for what you're doing. And I saw a mom weep day after day after day because of the rebellion of her son. Hey, listen, sin brings defeat, but it also brings dismay to those who love most. And I believe that lie, that I could keep it a secret. That I could hide it, and no one will find out. Friends, you know what the Bible says in the book of Proverbs 28, verse number 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Hey, young people, listen. Listen to me. This is, we're almost done. Would you look up here? Would you make eye contact with me? Maybe God with his finger has pinpointed the sin in your heart. And God is saying, listen, I'm going to offer you mercy if you confess it and forsake it this morning. And maybe there's some of you that have been believing one of those lies, maybe all three lies of sin. And God is saying, listen, this morning, not this afternoon, not tonight, but this morning, you need to get that right. The Bible says he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness if we're willing to confess. Don't believe this morning, young people, the lies of sin. Would you bow your head and close your eyes, but sit straight up. Sit straight up. Don't bow over your body. Just bow your head and close your eyes. I want to ask you a question. How many of you say, no one looking, just between me and the Lord this morning. How many say, Brother Josh, God pinpointed a particular sin, and I realize that I need to confess. So maybe I've been believing one of those lies, or all three lies of sin, and God is confronting my heart this morning. I need to get that right. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? All right, I see a hand over there. Anybody else? Say, Brother Josh, all right, I see two, four. Anybody else? Say, Brother Josh, I need to get this particular sin right. All right, I see some more hands in the back. Anybody else? All right, another hand. All right, you can put those hands down. Right now, this morning, if you raise your hand, maybe you need to talk to a counselor and say, would you give me some Bible verses so that I can get the sin right, so that I can confess it and I can have help with it? Listen, right now, if you need to talk to somebody, I'd invite you, even while we're sitting down, just slip out right now if you need to talk to someone. We're going to have a word of prayer in a moment. We're going to have a song of invitation. But if God is dealing with your heart this morning, hey, won't you deal with them? Won't you deal with it? Won't you talk to him? Won't you say, God, I'm willing to confess it and forsake it this morning? If God is speaking, you need to slip out right now. There's counselors waiting at the side. They love to take a Bible and show you how you can have victory over that particular sin. I invite you to do that now. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the truths of your word and the principles that we can learn. Father, thank you for stories like Achan where we can learn about the lies of sin. Would you help every single young people that raised their hand this morning to have the boldness and the courage to get that right with you, maybe in their seat this morning, or maybe talk to a counselor, and have the boldness and courage and stop believing the lies of sin and start believing your promises of mercy when we confess and forsake. Well, thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.